In these frightening days of a global pandemic, we need to be reminded of what God does for us. The message is very simple. In our pain, weariness, anger, fear, and anxiety, God welcomes us and promises to give us rest.
That's the Reverend Dr. David Hull, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith entitled, Finding Rest for Your Soul. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. David Hull, Associate Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. David is a graduate of Vanderbilt University and earned Master of Divinity, Master of Theology, and Doctor of Ministry degrees from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Before coming to Second Ponce in 2017, he served as the pastor of churches in Kentucky, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. David, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's my joy to be here.
You were last with us a couple of years ago, and today you graciously are filling in after our scheduled preacher was forced to cancel this recording session in light of the coronavirus pandemic. So we salute you for stepping up. Thank you. And we're recording this in May, and who knows what the situation will be like in July when this airs. Much better, we pray. But how have you and Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church been adapting and coping during this difficult time? What has church been like for you all?
Well, it has been an unusual journey for us, just like everyone else. And we've learned some things. I guess we've been reminded of some things that although we have a beautiful building, the church is not the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't been able to be in the building much. And also, we've learned that the church has not been canceled. We've simply been scattered or dispersed or moved about, but not ended. And so when we think about starting up again, we're not saying that we're reopening. We've always been open. We're regathering at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been an amazing learning journey for all of us.
How have you and Senior Pastor Doc Hollingsworth been handling pastoral care issues in the midst of social distancing and mask wearing?
The telephone is our friend, as well as note writing. And so we have just simply had to make hospital visits by telephone, for example. And we have instituted a way that not only the ministerial staff, but all the deacons will call all the members of the church. And we love these phone calls. They are blessings to everyone because it's such a great time just to catch up with folks. And that's how we're doing it.
You wrote a piece for the Center for Healthy Churches on pandemic preaching. First, tell us what the Center for Healthy Churches is.
That's an organization that helps churches through consulting and coaching kind of ministries. Churches that are in transition, who need help with visioning or with conflict work because they're conflicted, or maybe they need help in finding a new minister. And we come alongside and just help them with the process of making those decisions. And I'm a consultant with them.
So how would you summarize your thoughts on preaching in times like these?
Well, in that article, I won't give you the whole thing. I think I had six different biblical themes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing to me how some of the main themes of the Bible we're living out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just mention, too, in the Old Testament, you could argue that the biggest themes of the Old Testament were the Exodus and the exile.
Right.
And so the Exodus was moving the people of God from bondage to some promised land, but all the wilderness wanderings in between.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that's where we are right now.
Right.
That bondage that the virus produces, we're now wandering in the wilderness. there's a promised land of getting back to normal or whatever it is. Well, so there's rich preaching that can come mm-hmm. out of the whole Exodus wilderness wanderings. Exile, on the other hand, exile is where you have to live where you don't want to be.
Mm.
That's exactly where everybody is right now. Yeah. We're in exile. And we're longing for the day to go back to Jerusalem, as it were, for them. Well, prophets like Jeremiah had great things to say about how we should live in exile.
Mm.
So those were a couple of the themes about what we can be preaching during these days.
David, do you see some forms of ministry developed during this time that could or should be continued when things get into the new normal?
I certainly do. Mm-hmm. I think the whole use of technology, which some churches had been doing already more than others, mm-hmm. but that now almost every church has had to get on board and be a part of, that's going to continue. So whether it's Zoom meetings for Bible study or finance committee meetings mm-hmm. may replace, you know, gathering in person. I think worship that is live streamed, especially churches, even smaller churches that are now mm-hmm. equipped to do that, they will continue doing that. And we're seeing how, especially on things like Facebook, where services that are recorded can be shared, the viewership, the participation level can greatly be increased. So I think we'll continue doing those kind of things going forward.
So the end of this month of July, we'll see a major change in your life as you are retiring. So what do you think you'll be doing in the future?
Our plan is to retire from life here in Georgia and the church where I serve now, Second Ponce de Leon. My wife is a pastor serving Union Christian Church in Watkinsville. We are going to move to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to be near our daughter and grandchildren and their dad, Josh. And so we will continue to be in ministry. I look forward to interim pastorates and continuing with church consulting going forward. But also I look forward to investing my life in the lives of our young grandchildren.
Mm, wonderful. You mentioned your wife, and ministry does run in your family, it seems. Your wife and daughter, both ordained clergy. That must make family gatherings interesting.
We call it the family business. My dad was a minister. I am. My sister at one point served church staff. And now my wife and my daughter is pastor of First Baptist Winston-Salem, which is why we're ending up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have wonderful conversations about ministry, and especially in these days.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning from each other about how you do this adaptive ministry in these unusual days.
Well, David, your sermon today draws from Matthew chapter 11. Would you read the text for us?
I will. Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 11, beginning with verse 16 through 19, and then verses 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And then verse 25. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
David, in your sermon, you'll be sharing more about those last verses in this passage, which a beloved saying of Jesus for sure, much needed now. And we find ourselves on this July 4th weekend in a very strange world, and we are weary and exhausted. But there is hope for us, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that's the word we need to hear from this passage. Mm-hmm. It tells us about what God does for us through Jesus Christ. And I think if we can hold on to that, even in these unusual days, that is where we get our hope.
Well, David, we look forward to hearing your message, Finding Rest for Your Soul. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Several years ago, it came time for me to renew my driver's license. I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Alabama for that wonderful experience. After filling out the paperwork, an agent asked if anything had changed since my last license. Vanity took hold of my very being. "Well, I have lost some weight since the last license," I said. "I hope that you will note that change." Without comment, she continued to study my paperwork, then looked up at me, then looked back at the form. Finally, she said, "You say here that you have brown hair. Honey, I don't think that you can get away with that anymore. What if you were stopped and had to show your ID? It needs to match your look. Your appearance needs to match your ID." So, much to my chagrin, my new license said that I had gray hair. Until I moved to Georgia and saw that we don't put hair color on our licenses here. Your appearance needs to match your ID. Those words stuck with me. Let's think about them for a few minutes today. The 11th chapter of Matthew is a story about a question of identity and appearance. The question is offered in verse 3 by John the Baptist, who sent his disciples to Jesus and asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" That's an interesting question, isn't it? Remember that this is the same John the Baptist we read about in John 1:29 and following. The next day he, meaning John, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" John was clear about the identity of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. The descriptions are lofty: Lamb of God, a man who ranks ahead of me, and best of all, the Son of God. Now that John is in prison, he begins to wonder if Jesus really is the one who is to come, or should he wait for another? What was the problem? Jesus' appearance did not match his ID. John was wanting a powerful Messiah to dispense judgment and establish justice. After all, that had been the focus of John's preaching. I'm guessing that every day John sat in that awful jail, he wondered about the power of Jesus. Would Jesus come to save him? Did he have the power to do so? Or was he not really who he said he was? His appearance as a nonviolent teacher of peace did not match the idea John had in his mind. The 11th chapter of Matthew is a story about identity and appearance. It begins with John's question, but quickly moves to an answer by Jesus in the next two verses. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Jesus was teaching John that his appearance, what you hear and see, actually did match his ID as the Son of God. The images that he used in his answer remind us of the great prophecies from Isaiah that tell of the coming of a Messiah. Jesus was living out the description of the Messiah who was to come. The problem is that he was not living up to the expectation that John had for the Messiah. We often make the same mistake that John made, don't we? We want Jesus to act according to our expectations, and we grow disappointed when Jesus chooses to be our Lord instead of our puppet. The rest of chapter 11 develops this answer of Jesus. First, Jesus describes the ministry of John, and then compares his own ministry to that of John in verses 16 through 19 of our text. This comparison acknowledges that most people did not understand the ministry of Jesus. Our text then moves to another section about identity, as Jesus affirms the only one who truly knows his identity is God. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." The movement of this great chapter now brings us to the climactic and beloved passage that concludes the chapter. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We often hear the beauty and comfort of these words and miss their connection to the rest of the chapter. Think of these words as one of the beautiful diamonds of the Gospels. Then see chapter 11 as the setting that holds the diamond in place. The chapter was about identity and appearance. John wondered if Jesus' appearance really matched his identity. In these climactic words that end the chapter, Jesus is giving the answer. He is describing what we can expect from Jesus as his identity and his appearance are revealed in his actions. What does this mean for us? These final words tell us two things about Jesus that are critical for us to know. These things are at the core of his identity, and they are always revealed in the appearance of Jesus. What are they? As I ask this, I remember a dear church member years ago who offered a critique of my preaching. She said, "You're good about telling us what we are supposed to do for God. I need you to tell us more about what God does for us." I have remembered that good advice ever since. These final words to chapter 11 tell us what God does for us through Jesus Christ. God welcomes us. Do you hear the invitation from Jesus? Come to me, all. I picture the open arms of our Savior reaching out to hug and gather in everyone. Those who are invited are not the powerful and successful. Instead, this invitation is for those who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. We are all the invited ones today as we continue to struggle with the exile experience of our journey with the coronavirus. In a time when social distancing tells us to keep 6 feet away, there is this beautiful picture of Jesus reaching out to give us a big hug and to welcome us into His arms. For our weariness, Jesus offers rest. I need that picture of Jesus right now. Don't you? God guides us. We should never assume that the welcoming invitation of Jesus is intended for us to rest and do nothing. The invitation of Jesus was always to follow me. The one who welcomes us is also the one who guides us. Another picture forms in our minds as Jesus, the master artist, paints it. The picture is of a yoke. This wooden piece of equipment that joins together two animals so that they may work together is just the right picture. The goal is to learn from Jesus. It is in this learning that we are guided to life filled with abundance. To make this happen, we do give up something of our own agenda and choose to be yoked to Jesus. But the promise is wonderful. This yoke is easy, and the burden is light. We learn from Jesus that the greatest freedom comes when we are yoked. We learn from the Master who teaches us about life. A Sunday school teacher shared this text with her young pupils. "My yoke is easy." "Who can tell me what a yoke is?" she asked. A boy raised his hand and said, "A yoke is something they put on the necks of animals." Then the teacher asked, "What is the yoke God puts on us?" A quiet little girl raised her hand. "It is God putting His arms around our necks." In these frightening days of a global pandemic, we need to be reminded of what God does for us. The message is very simple. In our pain, weariness, anger, fear, and anxiety, God welcomes us and promises to give us rest. In our confusion, despair, impatience, and distraction, God guides us and teaches us the way of life. This good news does not take our struggles away, but we can find hope in the fact that the arms of Almighty God are lovingly placed around our necks. "Your appearance needs to match your ID," she said to me. "Yes, it does," Jesus answers. Because of the answer that Jesus gave in His life, death, and resurrection, we can rejoice by saying, "He is the one who is to come. We don't need to wait for another." May God give you rest for your soul today. Would you pray with me, please? We are hurting these days, dear God. So please welcome us into Your arms of love and give us rest. We need to know the way forward in our lives and in our world. So please help us to learn from You
as we take your yoke upon us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. David Hull. David is the associate pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, Finding Rest for Your Soul, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, and much more, you can visit us online at dayone.org. And please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. And thank you for your support. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, I'll be in the preacher's pulpit sharing a message with you entitled Sitting Beside the Sea. I hope you'll be listening. That's next time on Day One. Now, David Hull offers some final reflections on his sermon today. David, thank you for a very meaningful word in these times. I love the story you told about getting your driver's license renewed when you learned your appearance needs to match your ID. John the Baptist and other disciples felt that Jesus' ID didn't match their expectations of a powerful Messiah who would dispense judgment and establish justice. But Jesus told John, what you hear and see about him, his healings and miracles and good news, really did match his ID as the Son of God. We have the same problem. And you said we grow disappointed when Jesus chooses to be our Lord instead of our puppet. Would you say more about how our expectations about Jesus impact our faith?
So often, we make up our own minds about who we want Jesus to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we want Jesus to be, some kind of patriotic figure or economic figure or any way. But if Jesus is Lord, then it's not up to us to try to make Jesus over in the image that we want. And so trouble comes for us, I think, frustration for us, when we try to determine our expectations for Jesus. The better way is simply to read Scripture, start with those red letters that tell us, what Jesus said, and let's learn what Jesus said about himself, about who he was and is. And that's what I was trying to do in the sermon today, is talk about that.
Well, and we learned two things in the final beautiful verses of Matthew 11. You said, first, God welcomes us, invites us to come to Jesus, and that is so important in these times when we struggle with our exile experience in a pandemic. How might this invitation play out in our lives?
So many people feel excluded in our world for any number of reasons. I see this wonderful picture of Jesus being inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the image of, and I tried to say it, of the hug, the arms reaching out. And even in these days of social distancing, we're craving, being wrapped in the arms of love. Well, for everyone who feels left out, excluded, the promise is, no, Jesus wants to invite you in, to welcome you, to accept you, to forgive you, and that is good news. That is the good news.
And then we also learn that God guides us. This isn't just about getting some holy rest and doing nothing. We're supposed to follow Jesus, be yoked with Jesus, you said. How might we do that meaningfully in difficult times like these?
I mentioned the words of Scripture, so they give us this picture of Jesus who welcomes and invites us. But they also have some challenging words.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that Jesus said was not a a warm hug. It was some stern words of truth. And taking the yoke is really taking these words of Jesus, these commandments, and his way, and following them.
Mm-hmm.
As difficult as they may be, to forgive 70 times 7, to love your enemy, all those things that were not easy, but they are the way to life. And so Jesus is not only the one who welcomes us, he's also the one who guides us. And it's in that, the tension between those two, that's the essence of this passage.
Mm. David, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
That God welcomes them through Jesus by grace.
Mm.
And that God wants to teach them and show them and guide them through life because of truth. And if we can live with those two dimensions, then we'll know abundant life.
Mm. David Hull, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I love being here, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.